Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
What excellent thoughts have been brought forth this morning, I think. Honestly, couldn't ask for it to be any better. The prayer that LJ led at the beginning of this service, the Lord's Supper talk, the songs that we've been singing, all tie in very well with the topic that I want us to talk about. And just for a little recap, because it does tie into the lesson, the first sermon that I preached this summer was on the idea of asking ourselves, what is our focus? Taken from Philippians chapter 3, talking about Paul's journey from what he was before into what he now is, what his focus was. Then the story of Cain and Abel, asking ourselves, where's my heart? Is there a problem with my heart? Am I serving God correctly? Am I understanding what his will for me is correctly? Do I have the desire to do it? And then the third sermon was about our service. Taken from the examples that Jesus gives us all throughout his life, are we serving? Are we doing the things that we're supposed to in our walk as a Christian? And so that got me thinking for this last sermon. I want us to look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 is where we're going to be spending our time this morning. And if you know the story about the letter to the church of Laodicea, you'll know how Jesus describes them. He describes them as being lukewarm. And we'll get into that terminology here in a moment. But basically, they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. If their focus was in the right place, then their actions would have been different. If their heart was set on knowing exactly what the will of God was and what he wanted them to do, then they would have done things differently. If they had been out serving, bringing people to Christ, telling people about the kingdom that is now at hand, telling people about the king that is Jesus that came and saved them, then perhaps they would have done things differently. And so that brings us to the story of the Church of Laodicea. And just to make very clear, this might seem like an interesting subject to be talking about this morning. Because if there's one church that I've had the experience of working with that would not be described as lukewarm, it is the church here at Middleburg. Being here this summer, I've gotten the opportunity to go into the prisons and to sit in on the one-on-one studies and to participate in some of the classes that go on, to be able to preach at the prison. That was a good work that is put together by the church here at Middleburg. During this summer, I've had the ability to preach here, to have that opportunity to grow in my ability to speak, to possibly encourage the people around me. That is a work that the church here at Middleburg provided. The opportunity to go down to Melrose and to encourage the brethren there and to be encouraged by them, to potentially spread the word, to go into all sorts of different places and have Bible studies with all sorts of different people. That is because of the work that's being done here at Middleburg. And that's been a true blessing to be able to be here and to see all the ways of this church here, this group of Christians who are all striving for the same thing, who all have the same focus, who all have hearts that are desiring to do the will of God, who are all serving and going around and spreading the gospel, doing the work of God. That has been a blessing to be able to see this summer. And just as an aside, I'm incredibly grateful to everybody here for that opportunity. So then why are we talking about the Church of Laodicea? A church that does not have their focus in the right place. Their hearts are set on the wrong things. And because of that, their actions are not what they should be. Their mindset is not what they should be. Why are we going to talk about that this morning? Well, I think we think of this as a letter to the church, and it certainly is a letter to the church as a whole. But a church is made up of what? A church is made up of individual Christians, people who are all striving in their own walk with God to be better, to do more, to serve more, to have the right heart, to have the right focus. It's a group of individual Christians. That's the example that we see in the New Testament when the church is set up. So the church as a whole, the works that go on in the church is because of the individuals. And so let's read here in Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Let's just read this letter and see if there's anything that we can apply to our own personal walk with God, our own personal walk as a Christian. Beginning in verse 14, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What I find interesting is in every single one of these letters to the seven churches, in every single one, it points out exactly who this letter is coming from. Here in Revelation 3 and verse 14, the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. We know who that is. Jesus, the Spirit, is talking to these churches. And look at what he says here in verse 15. I know your works. And in every instance of a letter being to one of these churches, for instance, chapter 2, to the church in Ephesus, verse 2, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. To the church in Smyrna in Acts chapter 2, verse 8, verse 9, I know your tribulation and your poverty. Verse 13, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. In verse 19, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance. Chapter 3, and verse 2, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. To the church in Philadelphia, I know your works. To the church in Laodicea, I know your works. So the example in every single one of these churches is Jesus is saying, this is who is writing to you. It is me. You have somebody that you can be assured that you can trust. You can trust my judgment. You know who I am. And Jesus is describing to them, I know exactly what is going on. And that's something that we need to have in the back of our minds as we go throughout our walk as a Christian, as we participate in the things that are going on at the church here in Middleburg. Jesus knows our works. Everything that goes on that is for God or that might potentially be against the will of God, Jesus knows. And so in the back of our minds, that should be something that is continually keeping us in check. What is Jesus going to say about me if I make this decision? Is this work going to be pleasing to God because it is known to God? And something that should be in the back of our minds. But here in verse 15 of chapter 3, he says, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So to properly understand what is being spoken about, here in this passage, we need to define what Jesus is saying by cold and hot. And I think all throughout the New Testament, we understand what being hot in our walk with God is. We understand what it means to be hot in our walk as a Christian. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, I think this really gives us the definition of what it means to be hot in our walk as a Christian. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. I think right there is the definition of what Jesus is describing as hot. Your works here in the church of Laodicea, they are not hot. You are not zealous. You are not fervent in spirit. You are not striving to serve the Lord. You're stagnant. You're no longer growing. You are neither hot nor cold. And we understand cold to be the opposite of hot. It's a very obvious point to us. But what does that look like in our walk as a Christian? If cold is the opposite of being zealous, if cold is the opposite of being fervent in spirit and the opposite of serving the Lord, there is no work that is going on at all. Maybe you're not even a Christian. You're not proclaiming to serve God. But the people here in Laodicea are lukewarm. they're right in the middle of those two things. They're not being zealous, but they're also proclaiming to be a Christian, to be a servant of God. And that's hypocrisy. That's really what Jesus is getting here. There's hypocrisy among you. You claim to be a church that is serving God. You claim to be a church that are full of Christians, that believe in Jesus, that understand the teaching that he has given you, but you're not doing them. You're lukewarm. You're right in the middle. And Jesus says here, I will spit you out of my mouth. Another analogy that I read online as I was doing a little bit of research about the history of the Church of Laodicea. Another analogy for this idea of hot or cold. In this time, water was obviously a very important thing. They didn't have filters like we have filters in our fridge today. They had to be very careful about where they got the water from. They had to be careful to make sure that there was no bacteria in the water. And here in the Church of Laodicea, there were springs of water in this area. And they knew that these cold springs of flowing, moving water was safe to drink. And if there was water that was unsafe to drink, they would take that water and heat it up. They would boil it. They would make it hot to cleanse it from impurity so that it was safe to drink. But what they also knew is that the room temperature water, the lukewarm water that had been stagnant, that had been sitting still, was potentially unsafe to drink. That bacteria, that impurity, would get into the water, and if they were to drink it, it would make them sick. And that's exactly what Jesus says here, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you are lukewarm, you are neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. There's impurity. They had been stagnant to a point where maybe impurity had come into their heart. Their heart was not set on the right thing. Their focus was not focused on doing the will of God. They were stagnant. They were self-satisfied with the things that were going on in the church. And Jesus says, because you are stagnant, because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. And that reminds us of the story of Jonah, doesn't it? When Jonah is in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and finally God causes the fish to come up to the shore and vomit Jonah out. That had become as an impurity to the fish. No longer was Jonah going to be dwelling within the belly of the fish. It is the same for us. When we are impure, when we are stagnant, we're not continually growing, we're no longer being zealous, we're no longer having that excitement and that passion to do the work that is going on here at Middleburg. When we just become satisfied with the things that are going on here, and we become stagnant, we become as an impurity. And we will potentially be spat out of the mouth of Jesus. He cannot dwell with that. And so what we have to do in our walk as a Christian, as a local group of Christians here that do the work of God, that proclaim to be Christians, to proclaim to be believers, and go into the prisons, and go out and have all of these Bible studies that we're a part of, are we going to become stagnant and satisfied with that work? Or are we going to continue to grow, to find more opportunity? Again, not saying that this is not a church that is not growing, but as individuals, we need to evaluate ourselves. Am I being lukewarm? Am I satisfied with the work that's going on here at Middleburg? I personally see all these things that are going on here at Middleburg, the Bible studies, the people that we talk to, the people that we bring in and have Bible studies with them and show them the example of Jesus. I can see that and then not do anything else because the work is already being done. I see that people are going into the prisons and teaching people who have never even thought about their walk with God, who have never even thought about what it means to be a righteous person, to be a holy person. I can see that people are already going into the prisons and doing that and become satisfied with it, become stagnant, not participate in anything because everything's already being done. And that's exactly what Jesus says here in verse 17. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus is exposing what their mindset is. And what is our mindset? Is our mindset the same as the people here at Laodicea? The church here is rich. Look at all the works that are going on. The church here at Middleburg has prospered. Maybe I don't need to give anything. We're in need of nothing. I can't think of anything that would make this church better. What does Jesus say about that mindset? That is wretched. It is pitiable. He pities those who have that mindset of self-satisfaction, of just going with the flow, not doing anything to grow, to move forward, to be zealous, to be excited about the work of God. Jesus says you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. That idea of being blind, are we able to be blinded by all the good things that happen? Are we able to be blinded to all the work that still needs to be done? All the people that still need to be reached? I was talking to my friend the other day, and he said, I'm writing a sermon called I See Dead People. That's from a movie I don't know anything about at all. But his point was, there are dead people all around us. And there may be good works going on in the church here. There may be good works being done by the individuals here. But what about all of these dead people over here? What about all of these people over here that still need work? Can we become blind because of the good works that are going on here? And we don't realize all the different ways that we can serve, all the different ways we can bring people to Christ. It's something that we have to watch out for. I'll use myself as an example. Today is my last day here in Middleburg. I'm about to go to Florida College for my third year. And life at Florida College is completely different than life here at Middleburg. Life here at Middleburg this summer has been that of doing the work of a congregation, helping, participating, being zealous, being excited about those things. And now I'm about to go to somewhere else where I'm not going to have those same opportunities. Will my mindset still be focused on being zealous? Seeing all the work that can still be done, seeing all the Bible studies that the students at Florida College participate in, and that I can also participate in, seeing all the opportunities that the at least 10 churches in that area provide for the college students and participating in them. There's opportunity all around us to participate in things. Maybe you've never been involved in one of the Bible studies that the men do here in Middleburg. Maybe you've never been to things such as the Culver study. Maybe you've never gotten clearance to go into the prison and to sit in on a Sunday afternoon and participate with those Christians who are still in prison and worship with them. Maybe those are things that you've never done. Maybe you've been working in other ways, but how many opportunities are there to get involved, to be excited and zealous about the work? That's what Romans 12 says. Beginning in verse 9 through the end of the chapter is all about the true marks of a Christian. Not only treating one another with love, not only treating each other with kindness, but doing the work. Being passionate about it. Understanding that this is our purpose here as Christians. Our purpose is to grow the kingdom of God. That is our purpose. Are we lukewarm? Are we stagnant in that purpose? If we're not moving forward to Jesus, if we're not growing in our walk, if we're not taking it step by step like that song talked about, each step I grow closer to Jesus, each step, every day, I'm doing the work that needs to be done because that's my purpose as a Christian. And maybe right now, you're not prepared for that. There's still more study that needs to be done. Are you zealous about it? Are you zealous to read and to study the Word of God? Maybe there's something that you're not very good at, Maybe you're not very good at people skills. You don't know how to talk to people. You don't know how to talk to them about God specifically. Are you zealous and passionate and excited enough to learn, to grow in that skill? It's our purpose to reach people. And there's always opportunity to do so. And look at what Jesus says in verse 18. Jesus provides a solution to the group at Laodicea, to the Christians there. He doesn't just tell them that he will spit them out of his mouth. He doesn't just tell them that they are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. The wonderful thing about Jesus is he continues to provide a solution. Look what he says here in verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. In everything that they said about themselves, I am rich, I have prospered, I am in need of nothing. And Jesus contradicts them by telling them what they actually are. He provides a solution so that they can be rich, so that they will prosper, so that they will be in need of nothing. And that solution, all throughout Jesus' teaching, all throughout the things that he tells us, that solution is one thing and one thing only, and that is him, putting him on. Putting on the white garments that clothe our nakedness and our shame. Because without the white garments that Jesus provides us, without that purity that we can receive through the baptism and repentance and continually striving to serve Jesus, without that, we are naked and we are shameful. We're no longer just lukewarm, we're cold. We're as far away from God as we can possibly be. But Jesus provides himself as a solution. He says in the very beginning of verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire. It goes back to the idea of being hot. If we're hot and we're zealous and we're excited and passionate and there's no impurity, all of that impurity has been melted away. Jesus is saying, buy that from me. The only purity you're going to get comes from me. Buy the gold that has been refined by fire. The gold that no longer has the stone in it, has the impurity. It is pure gold. And where are you going to get it from? You're only going to get it from him. He's the only one that you can buy it from. And the salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Jesus tells them that they are blind. But he provides an opportunity for them to see. He gives them a chance for their eyes to be open so that they can see the good works that they can still do, so that they can see everything that they need to do. We have had our eyes opened by the Bible. And because of that, we know what we are supposed to do. But only when we buy it from Jesus. Only when we allow Jesus to open our eyes. Because I can read this. I can read it and my eyes still be closed. I can read this and not see exactly what I need to do to grow, to continue to grow in my walk as a Christian. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, am I allowing Jesus to open my eyes? Am I opening up myself to be influenced by the things that Jesus has said? To read stories such as this at the Church of Laodicea and to learn from it, to use it as an example in my own life, as an individual. Like we said at the very beginning of this sermon, church is made up of individuals. And if there are individuals who are not doing the work that is supposed to be done, then the church suffers. Becomes like a church like Laodicea. And just to point this out, let's look for just a moment at the church in Philadelphia. Beginning in verse 8, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What a contrast that is to the church of Laodicea. Once again, Jesus says, I know your works, but in this instant, the works that are being done is the keeping of his word, the keeping of his message, the spreading of the gospel, doing the things that are required of us as Christians. And Jesus says, I know those works. And he says, because of them, because you have kept my name, you have not defiled my name, you have not become hypocrites like the people at Laodicea, for this reason, you will be made, make him a pillar, in the temple of my God. And that's what each and every one of us can become. We, as a church here at Middleburg, are a pillar in the temple of God. But it comes down to the individual. So we have to ask ourselves, am I lukewarm? Is my focus not in the right place? Is my heart not set on being passionate? Is my heart not set on doing the purpose that has been given to me? Am I serving people, bringing them to Christ, furthering the kingdom? If I'm not doing those and I profess to be a Christian, then I'm lukewarm and I'm stagnant. And Jesus will spit us out of his mouth. And so what can we do as individuals? You may be listening to this. You may be reading this story here in the Church of Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. And you may be realizing, I'm lukewarm. I'm not doing the things that I'm supposed to do. What are you going to do now? Well, all comes down to the solution that Jesus gives, doesn't it? It all comes down to him. Are you going to put him on? To be in Christ. To be buried with him. Maybe you've already been buried with him and you've already been resurrected in his likeness. But are you going to be like him? That's what that means. Be like him. So read what he is like. If you are lukewarm, you're realizing you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you're realizing, I have worked. I am doing these things, but I'm slowing down. Refresh your minds about who Jesus is. Because Jesus also had a purpose, just as we have a purpose. And we cannot fulfill our purpose the way that Jesus fulfilled his. But if you look at his example all throughout his life, all he was ever focused on was spreading the word. All he was focused on was showing people the old covenant has been put away. The new covenant is here. Listen to me. In Matthew 17, that's exactly what is shown in the Transfiguration. God says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And Moses and Elijah disappear. It is Jesus that we listen to. It is Jesus that we look at to figure out, am I being lukewarm? So get involved in the work here at Middleburg. Because there are so many opportunities. There are so many Bible studies that you can be a part of and sit in on. There's so many opportunities to do things such as the Culver study and to be in a place in the world showing the example of Christ. Or start something yourself. Start a study yourself. Talk to the people who are at your workplace. Introduce the idea of having a Bible study. That's the first step, and it's the easiest step. Introduce that thought. And now you are moving more towards being hot. You're being zealous. You're being passionate. Because you're striving to further the kingdom. So you may be wondering, I'm not a Christian. How can I further the kingdom? You may be wondering, what do I need to do first so that I can also be a part of the pillar in the temple of God? When it comes, you have the same solution. To put Jesus on, to be buried with him in baptism, to be raised up in his likeness, to become a new person, to no longer be cold, to not remain lukewarm, but to be hot. You have that opportunity today. And remember, Jesus will spit us out of his mouth if we are not hot and zealous for God. But if you're not a Christian, then you're still cold. You're still in that state of being where you have not put Christ on. You have not been buried with him and raised with him. And Jesus still will not have fellowship with that. So if you have any need, if you need prayers because you realize maybe you haven't been what you're supposed to be, that you have not been fulfilling your purpose here, that you've been lukewarm, if you have prayers, if you have any needs, if you need to become a Christian and start your walk, start being excited about the work of God. Start doing the things that he has told us to do. Whatever your need is, then we ask you not to wait. Because you never know what your last moment will be. Jesus can come back at any time. And so if there's a change that needs to be made, do not wait to make it. Now is the only time that you have. Because if you wait, it might become too late. So if you have any need, we ask that you come forward as we stand.